tells us in Maseches Menachos, in the sugya of Tefillin, that Tefillin is no different than any other mitzvah that requires a Birchas HaMitzvah. And as such, the regular rules of Birchas HaMitzvah govern the brach of Tefillin. The basic rule of Birchas HaMitzvah is Kol HaMitzvah is Mevarach Lehem Ovel HaSiyasa. And one has to recite a bracha before one performs the mitzvah. Within that rule of Ovel HaSiyasa, there are really two different two sub-rules. One is the fact that the bracha has to be before the mitzvah, and number two is that the bracha shouldn't be too much before the mitzvah, because the lashon of Gemara is over lasiyasan, as the Mishnah pointed out, below over to over. Means the bracha shouldn't be 20 minutes before the mitzvah. It has to be as close to the mitzvah as possible. So you want to make sure the bracha takes place before the mitzvah is actually performed, as well as you want to make sure that you don't jump the gun and make the bracha too early. So the Gemara describes that window of opportunity when you're supposed to recite the bracha tefillin. The Gemara describes mishas hanochav yachas kshira. What does that mean, Mishas Hanoch Vekshas Kshira? So let's say, take the Tefillin Shayad. So from the moment that you put the Tefillin Shayad on your arm, that's already the Shas Hanoch. Now, I haven't really tied it yet. It's not tight on the arm, so I haven't performed the mitzvah yet. So right before I fasten the knot, right before I tie it, that's the optimal time to recite the bracha. If you make the bracha after you tie the knot, that's already Liachar HaSiyoson. If you make the bracha before Shas Hanoch, when it's still in the bag, it's still on the table, so then that's prior to the Shas Hanoch, that's too early, that's over the over. That would also not be correct. So the optimal time is to recite the bracha, specifically at that moment. The Rishonim have a machlekes, what exactly that phrase, Mishas Hanoch Vekshas Kshirim, means. We spoke about this in previous Shirim. Machlekes Rabbein Elio and Rabbein Tam, what exactly is the Kshiris HaTfilin? Rabbein Elio said the Kshiris HaTfilin means the mamish making of the knot. According to Rabbein Elio, every day when you finish davening, you have to untie your tefillin. If you take the whole tefillin apart, you got to come to shul 20 minutes early the next day and retie the tefillin. So according to Rabbein Elio, the mitzvah of Kshart and Milsa Yadecha, the mamish make the knot. So Rabbein Tam says, we never heard such a thing. We're putting on tefillin for 1,000 years, no one ever did such a thing. So Rabbein Tam says that that's not the mitzvah. That's not what Kshira means. When the Gemara says Mishas Kshira, it doesn't mean to literally tie the knot. It means to tighten the pre-existing knot. So that's, of course, what we do. We follow Rabbeinu Tam, but we put out tefillin. We don't follow Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, but we follow Rabbeinu Tam sheet about the brachas. We put the tefillin on our arm, Shas Hanoch, and then Otot, as we're about to tie it, so then we recite the bracha Laniach tefillin. What if a person put the tefillin on already and forgot to recite the bracha? Can he still recite the bracha? So it's Mechlek Yisrael Rishonim about the principle of Kol HaMitzvos Mevarach Lehem Ovel HaSiyason. Is that principle only lechatchila, or is that principle even b'diavad? So the Rambam writes in Ochos Brachos that principle is even b'diavad. If a person, let's say, already ate the matzah, now he wakes up 10 minutes late and wants to make a bracha, it's too late. A person already heard the shofar, wakes up 10 minutes late, he wants to make a bracha, it's too late. The Rambam holds that Kol HaMitzvos Mevarach Lehem Ovel HaSiyason is even b'diavad. That's what the Rambam writes. That if you, by mistake, gave the ring to the kala, chazak gives the ring to the kala, and forgot to recite the bracha, you can't recite the bracha anymore. Because the Rambam holds that the bracha, asher kiddushonu mitzvayis v'tfilin arayis, the long bracha that we recite under the chuppah, is basically just a fancy birchas hamitzvah. It's a long, long birchas hamitzvah, but it's governed by all the rules of birchas hamitzvahs. And therefore, if you goofed and you put the ring on, you yaitzir mitzvah ki kachishish, or you yaitzir mitzvah kiddushin, you can't recite the bracha afterwards. So that's not amminig. Amminig is that we try to do it before, but with the evid, we'll recite the bracha afterwards, because with the evid, we rely on the opinion of the Rosh. The Rosh says that the bracha under the chuppah is not really a birchas mitzvah. The bracha under the chuppah is a birchas shevach. It's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of marriage. That's what's such a long bracha. Asher kiddushanu mitzvayis v'la rayis v'la rusa. If it would have been just the Birchas HaMitzvah, should have said Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvahis V'la Kaddish HaSa'isha. So according to the Rosh, since it's Birchas HaShavach, it doesn't necessarily have to be Ovel HaSiyasa. So with the Yevid, we rely on the Rosh. But look at Chila, we try to do the Rambam. Look at Chila, we recite the Bracha before we put the ring on. So the Rambam Shita, permeating all of the brachas, is that Ovel HaSiyasa is Ma'akev. So if you did the Mitzvah, you heard the Shofar, you can't make the Bracha. You ate the Matzah, you can't make the Bracha. So L'chor, the din should be, according to the Rambam, if you put on the tefillin, so you shouldn't be able to make the bracha anymore. Not everyone agrees to the Rambam. The Arzaruah disagrees by all brachas. The Arzaruah says that any time you did a mitzvah and you remembered a minute after shofar, you blew the shofar, now you forgot to make the bracha. So according to the Arzaruah, you can make the bracha then. But according to the Rambam, we probably pass can make the Rambam, the b'diavad, you cannot recite a bracha after the mitzvah. So then the chor by tefillin, the din should be the same. That after a person tied the tefillin, he did the mitzvah already. How can you make a bracha? So the Rambam himself writes that tefillin is an exception to the rule. The Rambam writes that when do we say that a bracha must be before the mitzvah? And if you did the mitzvahs and you can't make a bracha, that's only if it's a type of a mitzvah, it's a one-time thing. It's a one split second, like eating matzah. The swallowing of the kazayas, that's the mitzvah. The hearing of the shofar, that's the mitzvah. We have other mitzvahs that are ongoing mitzvahs. We call the Rambam coins the phrase mitzvah nemesheches. It's a mitzvah that continues. Let's say tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is not just a mitzvah of tying the tefillin, but being wearing tefillin is a mitzvah deraisa. The longer a person wears tefillin, the greater mitzvah there is. So he's constantly involved in the mitzvah of tefillin, even after we actually did the tying itself. So the Rambam writes that even though l'chatchiva, you should recite the bracha before you start the mitzvah, but b'di'evet, as long as you're still in the process of being involved in the mitzvah, that's all okay. That's it. Moshe l'mada v'dav, mitzvah sukkah. According to the Rambam, when you walk into the sukkah, you should make a bracha right away, leishe b'sukkah, and then start to sit down and do what you want to do in the sukkah. Let's say you forgot. You sat down in the sukkah, you're halfway through your meal, and you remember, God, I forgot to make a leishe b'sukkah. So the Rambam says you make one right then and there, because it's a mitzvah nimsheches. The mitzvah is going on, the bracha is going on, the ongoing continuation of the mitzvah. The Rambam gives, I think, if I'm not mistaken, three examples of mitzvah nimsheches, tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. Those are the classic mitzvah nimsheches, because the mitzvah is not a one split second, it's an ongoing kiyum, and therefore one could still at least be the yevid recite the bracha. But again, under normal circumstances, the bracha should be recited before the mitzvah, and then not all that much before the mitzvah, but at the right time, right as you're about to perform the mitzvah. The lulav is a very tricky mitzvah, because the Gemara seems to say in Masechet Sukkah that there's no practical way to recite the bracha at the right time on the lulav, because lulav, the whole mitzvah is the picking up of the lulav. Like tefillin, you make the bracha when you're holding the tefillin in your hand, you're about to tie them. Tzitzis, you're holding the talis. By lulav, once you hold the lulav, it's over already. With the avbe nafke, once you pick up the lulav, that's the mitzvah, l'kachtem lachem. So the simple meaning of the Gemara is that lulav, you have no choice. Lulav, you have to make the bracha afterwards. So it means you pick up, to make the bracha when the lulav's on the table, that's too early. Once you pick it up, it's already too late. So what do you do? So Tosfos writes, no, it's still okay. Tosfos writes that you can make the bracha even though you picked it up already, because you didn't totally finish the mitzvah, because there's still a mitzvah to do nanuim. Since the halacha of the Mishnah requires that you have to shake the lulav, so Tosfos says the bracha is chal de nanuim. So it's still considered like a quasi overlasi yasad. And others say no. Others say that there's a way, there's a kunz. You could figure out a way to pick up the lulav without the yotz with the lulav. How do you do that? So the Rishonim give one of two eitzes. And some Rishonim say, you pick up the lulav of the yotzig upside down. Because you only yotzig, the mitzvah d'alminim, it's called kiderach kedi losam. Well, it's that from Sukkim, that it's actually Psukkim in this week's coming parsha. The Torah describes the Mishkan as atzei shitim omdim. The wood of the Mishkan has to be omdim. It means the crushim, the boards of the Mishkan, have to be made of the piece of wood standing up straight. You don't make the Mishkan with the wood going sideways. Usually when you make wood, so usually you build a log cabin, so you put the logs laying down this way. So here, it's got to be everything straight up. Atzei shitim omdim. So the Gemara says that we derive from here a din l'dairis, that whenever the Torah requires a mitzvah involving something that's growing from the ground, it has to be kederach de'losa. It has to be growing in the straight, normal fashion. So if you hold your lulav and esrog upside down, you're not yetzer mitzvah even b'di'evit. So that's what some Rishonim write, that you can have your cake and eat it. You can have overlasi yasad, you can hold on to the lulav and esrog and not yet be yetzer mitzvah. Because if you're holding on to one of the medium upside down, so then you haven't technically been yetzer mitzvah. That's what that minig is. We pick up the esrog right before the bracha. We pick it up with the tittim down, we hold it upside down, so you're not really yotzei the mitzvah yet, but it's still called over lasiyasa, because it's not on the table, it's not in the box, it's over lasiyasa, I'm holding on to it, we recite the bracha, then we flip the esrog up, we flip it right side up, or some Rishonim suggests that you should pick up the lulav esrog, having in mind not to be yotzei yet, so you're physically holding it, but you weren't yotzei yet, and then you can make the bracha, and then be yotzei the mitzvah properly. So the different eights that Rishonim give.
In Yerushalayim, the mitzvahs walk around with the lulav esrog all day long. So on that basis, in the Mikdash, it was like the Rambam holds, like tefillin.
It's a mitzvah nimsheches. Right, so it's not clear. So the Gemara says that the Anshei Yerushalayim used to walk the streets of Yerushalayim on Sukkot, walking with the lulav and esrog. They would come to shul, lulav and esrog, go to Smedish, they would go visit people in Nichum Avelim, B'Kichaylim, they would be walking around carrying the lulav and esrog. So the question is, why is that? What were they trying to accomplish? So some say because it's like a mitzvah nimsheches type of a thing. Some say it's only Yerushalayim. Some say it's even B'Gvulim. There's such a thing. It's unclear what they were trying to accomplish. So Taisus doesn't sound that way. Taisus sounds that it's only because you haven't yet done the nanuim that you're able to make a bracha. Taisus sounds like if you finish shaking the lulav, you put it down after the hallel, and then all of a sudden you wake up, you forgot to make a bracha, Taisus sounds like it's too late. But maybe others could argue, based on what you're saying, the Anshei Yerushalayim was a real din. Maybe you could argue, Anshei Yerushalayim was just upset. I mean, this chassidus, it wasn't a real halach. Anyway, get back to the story. So So when it comes to tefillin, we know what we're supposed to try to do. We're supposed to aim to get the bracha in, not too early, not too late. Just right smack in the middle, right at the right time, right before one does the actual time. How many brachas does one recite on tefillin? So this is a tricky one, because there are really two different mitzvahs. You know, whether you technically count them in the Tariq mitzvahs as one as two, it's not so relevant, but everybody agrees that they're not ma'akiv one. Let's say a person only has tefillin shayad, or only tefillin shirosh, a person has a bandage, has whatever, he can't put on, medical reason, he can't put on one of the two parts of the tefillin. So the Mishnah says beferish that one is not ma'akiv the other. Tefillin shayad is not ma'akiv the tefillin shirosh. That's the reason why all of the tefillin made it to Menaseches Menachos. If you ever wonder, why the Chazal spend 10 blocks talking about tefillin and sits in the middle of Menaseches Menachos? He's talking about karbonos. Because there's a series of Mishnayos in the end of the third parak of Menachos that talk about different things that are ma'akiv each other. If you're missing one, it ruins the whole mitzvah. And different things that are not ma'akiv each other. So the Mishnah talks about, if you bring a korban mincha and you bring the oil, you don't bring the lavona, you bring the lavona without the oil, what's ma'akiv, it's not ma'akiv. Then the Mishnah starts talking about different things in the base of Mikdash. If you have this half of the mitzvah, not that half of the mitzvah, what's ma'akiv? So then the Mishnah, it's like the Ein Bein Mishnayos and Megillah. Then it starts going on a tangent about everything under this, every area of Halacha you want to know. So that's what the Mishnah talks about. If you have a tefillin shayad and not a tefillin shirosh, what's ma'akev? If you have white strings and tzitzis and not blue strings, what's ma'akev? So all the dinim of tzitzis, tefillin, tzitzis, tzitzis, all got stuff stuck in Tempeseches Menachos, totally, completely as a tangent. This summer, Mitzvah Shem, I think that's just why I call it the learning of Tempeseches Menachos. I think that was... at least that was one of the possibilities with the learning. I don't remember whether that was the maskana, but I think that was one of the possibilities. So they don't really mean that learning Maseches Menachos. What they're really learning is the tzitzit and tefillin parts of the sugya. So it scares some of the high school boys got nervous. They thought we're becoming a brisker kollel, learning the kachim. So you have to make sure everyone understands that we're learning the easy part, relatively easy part of Maseches Menachos, the ma'aseh part. So there is a question in the Rishonim, how to read a Gemara in Maseches Menachos, just precisely how many brachas he's supposed to make on tefillin. On a daily basis, a normal scenario, a guy comes to shul in the morning and he puts on a shul yad, puts on a shul rosh, how many brachas should he make? So the Gemara makes a very, very cryptic statement of Menachos. The Gemara says that it speaks about the bracha of laniach tefillin and the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. And the Gemara says that if you talk, so then you have to make two brachas. In lo sach, if you don't talk, then you make one bracha, and if you talk, you have to make two brachas. Just, what do the words mean? So it's a major machlekes, Rashi and Ravid Atam, just how to read Pshat in the Gemara. So Rashi learns, what the Gemara means as follows. The normal protocol every day is Mevarech Achas. You make one bracha for both mitzvahs. Why is that? They're both tefillin, so it makes sense. You say, Asher Kiddushan Mitzvot Sefer Laniach Tefillin. So it's the exact same bracha that's chal on both. So you make Laniach Tefillin, you put in the Shal Yad, and then you don't make another bracha, then you put in the Shal Rosh. And both mitzvahs are covered by the same bracha, because it's mamish. Both mitzvahs are appropriate to say on them Laniach Tefillin, they're both called tefillin. That's what's supposed to happen on a normal basis. So how come the Gemara speaks about a second bracha of Amitzvah Tefillin? So that's what the Gemara says. Lo sach, if you didn't talk, then you make one bracha. Sach b'varach shtayim, if you spoke between the shayad and the shorosh, so then you broke up the continuity of the brachas, then the tefillin, the bracha of laniach tefillin can no longer take effect on the tefillin shorosh. So now you're stuck. Now you have to make another bracha. So what other bracha should you make? So it's silly just to make another laniach tefillin. It's boring. So Chazal made another bracha for you. They instituted a different bracha called al mitzvah tefillin. So, but that you're not supposed to make that bracha. According to Rashi, your whole life you should never make that bracha. Because if you make that bracha, that shows that you spoke shalukah did. You're not allowed to talk between Shayyam and Sharosh. But Chazal instituted a new special bracha for the one guy who did have hair. The guy once in 100 years who speaks between the Shayyam and Sharosh. So they made a special bracha. He has to make a bracha because he lost out the applicability of the bracha on the Sharosh. So he has to make a new bracha. So they instituted for him a new bracha, a new nusach called Am Mitzvah Tefillin. But according to Rashi, what plays out day in, day out of our lives is you come to Shul, make a bracha laniach tefillin. You tighten the shayad, put in the shayad, and you put on the shorosh, and finish, you start davening. That's it, there's no brach on the shorosh. The brach on the shorosh is for that once in the oval case of the person who spoke. And Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam and says, no. Tosfos says, that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is like this. The lahaniach tefillin, avad you make on the shayad, that's not a shayla. And you always make amitzvah tefillin on the shorosh. It's a separate mitzvah. It's not ma'akev. It's counted as one of the tying mitzvahs. So if it's a separate mitzvah, why should you double up and have one bracha for two mitzvahs? Each tefillin requires their own bracha. So you recite a bracha on mitzvahs, so that's what you're supposed to do. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, Sach mevarach shtayim? Sach mevarach shtayim means that if you spoke between the shal yad and the shorosh, then you have to make two brachas on the shorosh. You have to make a new laniach tefillin, and you have to add on a bracha of mitzvahs tefillin as well. According to Rabbeinu Tam, laniach is also always going on both. You have to make laniach tefillin on the shoyad and the shorosh, but that's not enough. In the normal circumstance, you have to also chop a ride in amitzvah tefillin. So if you didn't speak, so the laniach is still kayim for both, but then you have to add on amitzvah tefillin. If you did speak, then you chos, and now you're lacking the laniach, and you have to start all over again and make two brachas on the shorosh. So that's a big pell, according to Rabbeinu Tam, conceptually. Why does laniach relate to the shorosh altogether? If you're going to tell me that each bracha, each mitzvah gets its own bracha, that I understand. But to tell me that if you talk between the shoyad and the shorosh, you have to make up laniach, why does tefillin shorosh get two brachas? It's a very, very modern thing. So the truth is, it's not the only mitzvah that we find that has two brachas. The mashal mitzvah bris milah also has two brachas. Asher ki nishar mitzvah zetzvara ala milah, then lachnisa mevisa shlav mevino. It's also a very modern thing. The Rishonim are very, very bothered with that. Why do we make two brachas on the mitzvah of bris milah? So different answers are given. So the Rav developed all Yisoid, that the Rav said that there are certain mitzvahs that not only a maisa mitzvah, that it's an action. You shake a lulav, you blow the shofar, eat the matzah. There are certain mitzvahs that change the person. It's like a very brisk kavod. It's not just a maisa mitzvah. It's a chalois in the gavra. It means the person becomes a different type of a person. The mitzvah permeates the person's essence, his whole neshama, his whole body. It's a different kind of a person now. And that change in status, that chalois, that new change in personal status, warrants a separate unique bracha. So which mitzvahs do we have that idea? We eat matzah. On the same Jew ate matzah. Before the matzah, after the matzah. A few calories added, but it's the same basic. Shofar, I'm the same person. Before the shofar, after the shofar. But bris milah, I'm not the same person. I used to be an oral. Now I'm a mohol. Now I can eat korban pesach, now I can eat truma, now I can do avodah zarah. I'm a totally different person. So that makes sense. That first you make a bracha al ha-milah. That's on the ma'isa mitzvah of milah. Milah is like any other 613 mitzvahs. It requires a bracha. But there's an additional dimension of milah that now the person has changed. A new chalashem, a new gavra. He used to be an oral, now he's called the mahol. So you make a new bracha. Lachnisa b'viso. The gavra is nichnas labris. It's not on the milah. It doesn't say al ha-milah. Al ha-milah we said already. It's lachnisa b'viso shlav mavina. So the same is true to a certain extent when it comes to tefillin. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Tefillin that when a person is wearing tefillin, they're a different kind of a person. It's not just that they're being yetzer mitzvah. So Chazal say, "V'ro kol ami aretz kishem Hashem nikra alech aviyar mimekra." It means a person has hashpa from the tefillin. The tefillin changes the person's whole personality. The Rambam writes that if a person's wearing tefillin, he becomes a greater in Yirei Shemayim and a greater anivus, and greater avodas Hashem, and greater tekus b'kadosh Baruch Hu. There are things that, assuming that he's paying attention to what he's doing. It's the famous story with the Vilna Gaon, that once the Vilna Gaon was walking in the street, and some man and some goyim were starting up with somebody, picking on someone, a Jew, and they, all of a sudden they saw the gra was walking with his talisman tefillin, so the goyim ran away. So somebody saw, wow, that's pretty good. So the goyim were afraid of tefillin, so some other guy decided, who wasn't quite up to par with gra, he decides he's going to pull for the same stunt. So he goes, puts his talisman tefillin on, and he walks up to the thugs, and they immediately beat the living daylights out of him. So he comes to the gra, and he says, I don't know if the story really happened or not, but it's a nice story. Well, it's not nice when the person got beat up. So he comes to the gra, and he says, I don't understand, Rebbe. He said, you stood there, and your talisman tefillin, they all ran away. And he said, I got smashed. So the girl says, it says in Chazal, V'ro kol ami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alech v'yaro mimecha. The goyim will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is on you, v'yaro mimecha. They'll be afraid of you. So the Gemara says, Eilu tefillin shebarosh. This refers to the tefillin, the shin, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is on you. That's referring to the shin shel tefillin. This refers when the goyim see the tefillin shebarosh, so they get terrified. So the Gemara doesn't say Eilu tefillin she'al harosh. The Gemara says Eilu tefillin shebirosh. That's the lashon. So the Gemara says the goyim are not afraid of black boxes with straps that are sitting on a person's head. That doesn't faze them. But a goy can sense if it's tefillin shebirosh, if the tefillin have made the way into your head, if the lessons of the tefillin have become part of your personality, that they're terrified of. So the Gemara said, if you're putting on a stunt, you're putting on tefillin, people see you wearing tefillin, so they'll be up with the tefillin on. But tefillin shebirosh, that even the goyim are afraid of. So again, the story is true, not true, the idea is true. That the wearing, particularly the tefillin shorosh, has that ability to somehow change a person's whole essence, his whole personality. So that's what the Rav explained. That's what the brachas on. The brachas are mitzvah tefillin. So the tefillin shorosh really require two brachas. They require lahaniach, and they require all mitzvah tefillin. So lahaniach is covered by the shoyad, unless you spoke. But if you spoke, then you got to start all over again. So at the end of the day, there's a machlekes Rashi or Vinatam. What's the normal protocol for putting on tefillin? Every day you come to shul, what do you do? According to Rashi, you make one bracha, that's it. Laniach tefillin, put them both on. According to Vinatam, no. You put on shalyad, you make laniach, right before you put on the shalrosh, then you make it al mitzvah tefillin. That's the normal protocol. How do we paskin ralocha? So there's a machlekes haposkin, the shulchanach paskin. It's like Rashi, it's like the Rambam. So the Sfaradim follow that they do not recite a bracha amitzvah. So that was the Bnei Gagra also, notwithstanding the story. The Bnei Gagra held that way, the others who held that way, you never recite the bracha amitzvah tefillin. Amitzvah tefillin is only reserved for the person who makes, who's spoken between. And the Ramah quotes the Ashkenazi custom to follow Rabbeinu Tam. That's what our more prevalent custom is in our communities, is to follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam, that you, under normal circumstances, you recite that second bracha of amitzvah tefillin. If you talk, then you got to make. Then you end up with three brachas. Then you got to make laniach again. If you repeat laniach and then start nachama with the almas is telling. So there are more quotes, a famous custom that every bar mitzvah boy knows about. That many bar mitzvah pshatach have written about this. There are more quotes, a famous custom that even though we follow mikra din rabbeinu tam, that we recite the bracha of almas was tefillin, but we're nervous about Rashi. That's a Rashi and Ram. Shechanoch, a lot of Rishonim held that it's mamshu bracha levatala. So we try to minimize the bracha levatala by reciting Baruch Shem immediately after the bracha of almas was tefillin. Because even though it doesn't really work, you can't mamish make brachas levatol and just say brach shem and call it a day. But brach shem minimizes the brach levatol because we're praising Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the minhag Yisrael, at least in Ashkenazi communities, has become that you make laniach, put on the shalyad, then you make amitzah tefillin, you put on the shalrosh, and as soon as you finish putting on the shalrosh, so then you say brach shem, to at least in deference to Shittas Rashi in the Rambam. The only problem is that sometimes that minhag of saying brach shem causes more harm than good, because a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that they make the bracha, the holding the tefillin shorosh, and they say, ah, shem b'shem amitzvah tefillin b'shem, and they say the brach shem before the tefillin is in place. So that's for sure no good, because then they spoke shaloi kedin between the bracha and the putting on the tefillin. That's the bracha of atal chodes, even according to Benetam. The whole idea of saying brach shem is to prevent bracha of atal. It ends up, if not done properly, it ends up causing more brachas of atal. As the post can point out, you have to first put on the tefillin shel rosh. You make the bracha of the tefillin. Make sure the tefillin rosh are on, they're in place, they're set. After you know they're set, then you recite the bracha of shem. You don't have to go check with your mirror for it. I mean, if you know that, you feel they're pretty much in place, they're tight, they're in place where they are, then you make the then you say the statement of bracha shem, and then you continue the rastically and finish putting on the rest of the tefillin. No, because then mikra din, you shouldn't really be saying brach shem. Mikra din, we follow Rabbi Natam, that you're supposed to make the brach and put on the tefillin. So that's like saying, imagine a guy says, Asher kishon tzol sabam el lishmocho shofo brach shem for mochos yolam bo. It's a hefsik between the brach and the mitzvah. Brach shem is not really supposed to be said. Brach shem is out.
If the first brach,
that's for sure. Laniach is fine. Laniach is for sure not a brach levatala. Everybody agrees you have to make laniach. The potential brach levatala is the almetzah.
The second brach, because you spoke.
No, but you spoke, you said Baruch Shem after you tightened the Shorosh already. That's the problem. The problem is if the person says Baruch Shem before, so then it turns out that he's got to make another bracha, he's going to make a new laniach. The whole thing is a problem. So you should make sure the correct order of things is, you make laniach, tighten the shoyat, put on the shoyat. You make al mitzvah tefillin, and you tighten the Shorosh in place. And after the Shorosh is in place, 2, 3, 5, 7 later, then you can recite the statement Baruch Shem, and then you finish up your rastach. That's the correct way to put it.
Why wouldn't we say on the shorosh, then say the bracha. According to Rashi, that's good.
No, according to Rashi, it's also bracha matel. According to Rashi, never make amitzvah tefillin. According to Rashi,
but since it's a bracha, since it's a mitzvah nimsheches.
No, but according to Rashi, we yaitzi laniach patas both. According to Rashi, to make an amitzvah tefillin is mamshe bracha matel. That's where it's pointed out a little bit in a humorous way, but it's true, is that when we make the bracha amitzvah tefillin, it's a bracha levatola bein l'Rashi bein l'Rabbeinatam, because according to Rashi it's an unnecessary bracha. According to Rabbeinatam, the tefillin apostle, because we're wearing Rashi tefillin, so it's a bein l'Rashi bein l'Rabbeinatam. It's not an acceptable bracha, but the answer is that doesn't bother us, because that's not how halacha works. Halacha works is that Rashi had a machlokes with the other Rishonim about the brachas, and that minhag became machri against Rashi. Rashi Ben Atam had a different, separate, unrelated machlokes about the order of the parshas, and the minhag Yisrael became to paskin like Rashi. So we paskin malocha, that it's a correct bracha. So Rashi would hold, Rashi himself would have an issue with the bracha for one reason, Ben Atam. The whole family would be against the bracha. Well, that's not how halacha works. Halacha works is that nimna v'gomru, the Gedalia Rishonim paskin one way, and this machlokes, and another way, another machlokes. That's the way halacha plays out. Ram Mahatis.
With Chris, why would someone who is from it to have to make a bracha that he's now not an oral because he now has chalos, in which he never had the opportunity, but now that he's a bar mitzvah.
Right. Right. The Gemara is the favorite that the bracha lachnisa was said by the father. So the bracha lachnisa was said by the father. The father apparently is the same way the Torah puts the mitzvah meal on the father. So the Torah, the Chachamim instituted that the brachas were all done by the father on behalf of the child. So it's part of the whole parsha, the whole package of meal. Under normal circumstances, one is not supposed to speak between the Shalyan and the Sharosh. If one speaks, so then he throws off the whole bracha's issue. So the Gemara says that that's considered to be an avera to speak between the Shalyan and the Sharosh. The Gemara says it's an avera to such an extent that Chozelov Ve'Archei HaMulchama. The Gemara quotes the Machlekes HaTanoim in the end of Masechet Sota that had to learn Pshat and Pesukim and Pashas Shoftim. The Torah says, Mi'a'isha Yarei Barach HaLevav Yilech V'Yashov LeBeisel. And the Torah gives a whole list of people who are exempt from the draft, so the person who just built his house, and the person who just got married, all the different people who are potter from Shana Rishona, the people who don't have to go to the war. So the Torah says, anyone who's afraid, he's too frightened, he can go home, he doesn't have to come out to war. He's not going to do us any favors by fighting in the war. So the Gemara is Machlekes, the Mishnah is Machlekes HaTanoim, what is he afraid of exactly? So one Tana says, or Kiva says, he's afraid of getting killed. He can't see a cherub shlufa. He sees a sword. He sees a tank. He sees a bomb. He gets all nervous. So such a person leaves the Muhammad. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, that's not who the Torah is talking about. The Torah is talking about Hayyari Mi'aveira Shabiyadai. He's talking about a person who's afraid because he's a Balaveira. He's afraid that he's not so frum. So he's going to end up, Shasa Sakana, he may end up being punished by Kodesh Baruch Hu Shasa Muhammad. So if he's afraid that he did any Aveiras, he should go home. So that's what the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yosef. The only people who come to fight the battle are the greatest tzaddikim. They're the troops. Anyone who does Aveiras, we send them home. We don't want them on the front. There's a famous story about Reb Chaim that there was, we have this image of Brisk. We think everyone in Brisk was sitting and saying Brisk Torahs in Europe. So people who really lived in Brisk will tell you that the Reb Chaim was there. There was a lot of Torah going on, but there are a lot of secular people who lived in Brisk also. So apparently there was a group of Jews who came. There was a traveling Yiddish theater that was going through Europe. So they came to arrive in the town of Brisk. So they put on a play. So they weren't known necessarily for being the greatest Ohavei Torah. So they decided to put on a whole skit, a whole play in the middle of the town in Brisk to make fun of all the Rabbanim, make fun of the Torah. So they put on a skit of what it looks like to be a Jewish war. How does the Torah envision going out to battle? So they have all the actors get up, and they have 100 people standing on the stage, and an old man comes up. He's the Meshuch Mechom, he's the Kohen who's supposed to, and he gets up and announces, anyone who just built a house should leave. So 20 people walk away. Then all the young people who just built a house walk away. Then anyone who just planted a vineyard, another 20 people go away. Anyone who just got married should leave. So all the young people, the strong people, all walk down. And you're left with a couple of stragglers left. Then he says, "Mi aisha yarei v'rach alevav." Anyone who's ever done any aveira should please leave. So everybody leaves. And there's two old guys there, the big kosher stand, the Rashiva and the Dayan are standing there. They're going to go out with the canes. They're going to go fight the war. So the audience is laughing, hysterical. Everyone's laughing. It's really, really funny. And the curtain goes down. So apparently somebody came to Reb Chaim, and they said to Reb Chaim, you have to make a machoy, you have to protest, because it's a bizayin ha-Torah. So look what they showed me. They were describing to Reb Chaim what the play was. So Reb Chaim's listening, he says, that's not a bizayin ha-Torah. He said, they're 100% right. That's exactly what the Torah, they described the Torah perfectly. But Reb Chaim said that when you show a skit, you put on a play, you can't stop in the middle. You have to have act two. So go back and tell the actors they should raise the curtain again and show what happens in the next scene. What happens in the next scene? These two old guys go out and they win the war. So he said, that's exactly what the Torah says. If you follow all the dinim in the Muhammad, then you can go out and the two old people who can barely stand, they're going to be victorious in battle. That was Reb Chaim's response to the Yiddish tale. I don't know whether they listened to his response or not. I can't tell you. That's the way the story goes. Anyway, So getting back to this story, so the Gemara says that what's an example of somebody who's a isha yard v'rachaleva, who's afraid of averish abiyado? So the Gemara says a person who soch ben tefilu tefila, a person who speaks between the shalyad and the shalrosh. Oh, if you ever spoke between shalyad and shalrosh, then don't go out to battle. That's the example. Sounds very strange, Gemara. I could have thought of a lot of different averas a guy could have done. This is the avera, soch ben tefilu tefila. So all the darshanim go to town on this Gemara. What's the significance of being soch ben tefilu tefila? You spoke between Shalyad and Shalrosh, and therefore you disqualified if you sent home from the front. What's the Indian Zaytzel there? So basically, the gist of all the drushes is something along the following, that in the El Madrush, that the Shalyad and the Shalrosh, so they correspond to the fact that there has to be a tziruf, there has to be a connection between a person's mind, between his ruchnius, and tachlis Shalyad is what the person actually does in this world. That a person has to act with his hands in a way that's a reflection of what he's thinking. Some people think in one way, they're acting another way. A person's hands, what they do in this world, the Maisi Adayim, has no correlation to what their ruchnius is all about. So when the person goes out to battle, so you have to hold the sword in your hand. You have to go shoot the gun with your hand. You have to go drive the tank. You have to do very, very dashmistic things. So the question is, how are you going to go out to battle? Are you going to go out to battle like a boss of a dog, like just like a person? Or are you going to go out to battle like a Ben Torah? You're going to go out to battle with your machshavas, tahiras, that you're going to protect clients, or you're going to go do a machshavas mitzvah. Not just I'm going to go out to attack people. So comes the Gemara Sultan says, if a person is soch b'tefila tefila, if there's a break, if there's a separation between his mind and his hands, so we don't want such soldiers. They're not going to do us any good. But if you have a person who understands the tziruf between the shalyad and the shalrosh, he understands that the head has to ultimately decide what happens with the hands. The hands have to follow the directions from the head. It's got to be a ruchnistic war. So such a person, Takashi, deserves to go out the battle. He's going to be able to protect Klai Yisrael. Again, it's the basic gist of the drush rolled down. The Takashi, the Gemara says, you shouldn't talk between shalyad and shalrosh. That's the bottom line. If a person talks, then you have to go ahead and repeat the bracha. There's one last issue that comes up in terms of his brachas and tefillin. One of a very common shayla, a person makes a bracha on tefillin, and then for some reason has to take his tefillin off in the middle of davening. Why is that? He has to go to the bathroom, other thing comes up, so does he recite another bracha or not? So the Gemara says that when Rabbi Danasi, sometimes Rabbi Danasi, the Gemara describes above Metziah, he had a serious stomach ailment. He died from a stomach condition. You have to read the Gemara carefully in the seventh paragraph of Metziah. The Gemara gives some of the symptoms of what he was suffering. Maybe you can give a diagnosis 2,000 years later, but it sounds very, 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 very difficult situation that he had. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that sometimes he would wear tefillin, and all of a sudden, in the middle of wearing tefillin, he had a terrible feeling, he had to go to the bathroom, so he would take his tefillin off. So the Gemara says every time he would take his tefillin off and put it back on again, he would make a new bracha. So the question is, what do we derive from that? So the Machlekes, the Mechaber, and the Ramah, what conclusion we draw from that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you see from here that any time you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, and you stop, and you do go back and do it again, you have to make a new bracha. With tefillin, tzitzit, sukkah, whatever it is, every time you stop in the middle, you have to go back and make a new bracha. And the Ramah says, no, the Ramah says tefillin is different, because since you're not allowed to wear tefillin in the bathroom, so that's mamash a break. That's mamash a hezchadas in the mitzvah. But if it's not, if you didn't, let's say you took off your tefillin, not because you had to go to the bathroom, you took off your tefillin because, I don't know, you want to take a walk outside or something. So nobody told you to take off your tefillin. You didn't have to take off your tefillin. So whenever you don't have to stop the mitzvah, the person takes off his talus to go outside. You don't have to take your talus off. You chose to take it off. That's not called a hefsek. So that's an aminig, like the Ramah, that if you take off your tefillin to mamish, go to the bathroom, so that would be that's a real hefsek, and you have to make a new bracha. Some posts can even question, what do you mean you have to go to the bathroom to go for number one, for number two? Well, it's not so poshut, because technically speaking, a person could perhaps go for hatolos meraglayim. One could technically do, even with one's tefillin on. So that's not so poshut. A person, mamish, has to literally go to the bathroom. So then he would have to recite a new bracha when he puts his tefillin back on. But if a person just takes his tefillin off, let's say, it's a convenience or something, he wants to take them off, he's going to go take a walk and come back 5 minutes later, and why he's taking a walk from the middle of davening, I can't tell you. But whatever reason, he wants to go outside and then put his tefillin back on 5 minutes later. So what I'm going to give is that he would not recite a new bracha. But Lamaisa, the person who took off his tefillin because the halacha requires him, whatever the guidelines of that are, then he would be required to make a new bracha. There's one last thing I want to mention in terms of a little bit of siyum and ichus tefillin. It's really the very beginning of ichus tefillin, but it's a good way to conclude ichus tefillin. The Torah says about tefillin, l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha. The Torah says why you have to wear tefillin. You have to wear tefillin to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha. That the putting on tefillin, like we said before from the Rav and the Rambam, that it should enable you to somehow, your whole personality becomes different. Your mind, your heart, everything becomes different. So a person is supposed to have that in mind when they're putting on tefillin. we pask in the mitzvah shichas kavana. When you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to have in mind that you're doing a mitzvah, but you don't have to think about all the reasons, the rationale. It's nice, but it's not a critical component of doing the mitzvah. The shem mitzvah, that's it. So there are three mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah itself calls our attention and says, do the mitzvah leman, so that the following should be true. That's what the Bach points out in the name of the Torah, that there are three mitzvahs that the Torah says leman, and each one of them requires of us b'shas mitzvah to focus on why we're doing the mitzvah. One is tzitzis, leman tizkru, have to think about, I'm wearing tzitzis to remember to do all the mitzvahs. Leman yedid darasech, I'm sitting in the sukkah to remember benani hakavod, remember yitzis mitzrayim, and leman tiyatah shem v'ich, I'm wearing tefillin, so that I should remember yitzis mitzrayim and kabbal satorah, limud haTorah, etc. So that's an integral part of the mitzvah. Mishabur says, it's not ma'akha b'di'evin if you don't think about it, but that's something a person should actually think about, so focus on when one's putting on tefillin, not just stop to do the mitzvah by rote, but to actually stop for a moment as you're putting on tefillin, to focus on the whys of what you're doing in tefillin. That's the kiyum mitzvah min haTorah. That's what the Torah says explicitly. Laman, tiyatah shem v'ich, kibiyar chazakah, to remember yitzis mitzrayim and limud haTorah, and all the parashas that are found inside the tefillin. So I think we pretty much made a siyum on tefillin. So hope we meet Hashem next week. Some of the regulars will be back for next week, so we'll start the newsman. So we'll move on in terms of the next limud, I guess, into the realm of Chutz Bracha, Birchas haTorah, Birchas haShachar, and as we move through Chelek Aleph and Aruch Chaim.